If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope you do, would you please open them with me? We will be reading James chapter 4, verses 11 through 17. Hear the word of the Lord. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. It's an honor to be worshiping our Lord together this morning. I was listening to last week's sermon and I realized something. I mentioned before how I listen to my sermons. I want to know if I say anything heretical or anything that contradicts Scripture. And when I was listening to last week's sermon, I realized something I didn't like. I almost sounded like I was yelling. I almost sounded angry, and that really, it wasn't the case. If any of you felt the same, I do apologize. The wind was blowing. I was trying to compensate with being outside and the wind in my ear, and I guess I just came across mean. So I am sorry. It scared me. I'm sitting there like cringing in my office like, oh, Lord, no. That was bad. But as we were winding down our series of James, you know, we have only two sermons left. Can I get an amen? Because James is tough. James is really tough. It pushes us. And my prayer for you is this, that God has stirred up some convictions within you, that God has opened your eyes to his ways. And like me, I hope you're struggling with this, trying to discern what God's plan is for your life, just like I'm constantly trying to discern what God's plan is for my life. James is hard. James challenges you. He forces you to look in the mirror and look at your own faults. And we've been joking around with this idea, this phrase I've been saying the last couple weeks, stop it. We've been joking around so much that someone posted a picture on my Facebook page. The picture is this. It's Jesus up in heaven looking down at his creation, and he's yelling, stop it! And the truth is, sometimes we need to hear that. So we need to hear that more often than not, because we're like a bunch of toddlers whose parents are trying to tell them something or teach them something, but they keep doing the opposite. And we need to stop judging. We need to stop thinking that we are good, and we need to stop thinking that we can do this without God, because we need to rely more on God, not just on Sunday mornings, but every day of the week. We need to rely on God more, not just 1 hour or one or so hours every Sunday, but 168 hours a week. And when the church looks in the mirror, we have to ask ourselves, do we look like the body of Christ? This is the issue that James is trying to convey to this body of believers. Stop it. And James continues this week, brothers, I'm going to read this slow. Do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. Bam! You are not keeping the law when you judge, but you are sitting in judgment on it. And the only one who is supposed to sit in judgment on the law is the Creator. The Lord alone sits in judgment, not you. And the problem is we love to judge. We love to do that instead of humbling ourselves before the Lord. And when we look at our brothers and sisters in the Lord and we judge, when we point out the things we don't like about that person, when we point out the things that we think, and I'm emphasizing think, are offensive, instead of pointing out the ways that our brother and sister are trying and striving to follow God, we show that we are judges and that we're not in the grace, because we all have weakness. Every one of us has sins that are keeping us from the Lord. And the truth is, the persons who sin are more outward. Those who are living in sexual sin, those who have trouble with substance abuse, those who have anger issues. It's true. These sins are more noticeable, and either that person does not think they have a problem, or they know it's wrong and they're struggling with their problems. But what about the prideful person, or the arrogant, or the self-righteous person? Their sins are hidden, and these people know how to hide their sins really well. It is often these people in the church and society who are doing the most judging. They're the ones that are causing the most problems, and all we have to do is look at our presidential race right now. As we get closer in time, we're going to start seeing more and more ads showing the true hearts of these candidates. These ads, whether they're from the Hillary camp or the Trump camp, while they point out the problems of the other person, what they're really doing is pointing out their own heart condition, the heart condition of those who backs the ad. We are a slanderous people, and that very thing goes on here in the church all around the country and around the world. Whenever the people of God talk bad about a brother or sister in the Lord, they are being slanderous. Whenever they go to that brother and sister and point out their sins, instead of looking in the mirror and seeing God's will, they're pointing out how wicked their hearts are, hearts that think they are better than God. And don't forget, I'm not saying that we aren't supposed to discipline those, but as Paul says, only the spiritual are to do that discipline. Only those who have been given the spirit of discernment. Only the humble, because as Paul continues, lest you be tempted. And this is the problem in the church, and it doesn't just stop there in the church. Those who call themselves Christians take this hateful attitude out into the public realm. They spew hatred instead of pointing people to Christ, even though they do it in the name of the Lord. Jesus said, "They will know you are my disciples by how you love one another." And I keep saying that because we need to let that solidify into our heads. It should be our prayer every day. Lord, how can I love this person? This person who is so hard to love. Lord, how can I show my coworkers the love of Christ? Lord, how can I show those who are around me the love of Christ? Because that's what Christ calls us to do. And James continues, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? And right there, James is reminding us of something else that Jesus talked about. Jesus told the story of the man on the side of the road, this guy who had been beaten, he'd been robbed, and he was left there to die, and a priest comes walking by, and he sees this man, and he crosses to the other side of the road. A little time later, a Levite comes walking by, same thing, seeing the man, he turns and goes to the other side of the road, and it wasn't until a Samaritan man came walking by. A Samaritan man, a guy who was hated because of his race. And it wasn't until he came walking by that the guy on the side of the road found help. And this man, this Samaritan, he stopped and picked up the guy on the side of the road. He cleaned him. He brought him to an inn and paid for everything and said, if there's any other costs, I will pay them on my way back through town. And when Jesus was telling this story, the Jews would have understood why the priest and the Levite did not stop. They would have understood why they kept walking by, because they would have understood the idea of purification and the rituals that you would have to go to. They would have understood why these men didn't help a man who was dying on the side of the road. They would have understood, even if they thought the priest and the Levite should have stopped to help. But when Jesus got to the part about the Samaritan man and what he did, well, it would have been a slap in the face to every good Jewish man there, because This was a story Jesus was telling in reference to who is my neighbor. And certainly a hated race or a hated person can't be my neighbor. They're hated. But this guy was the one who stopped and truly helped his neighbor. Purification rituals or racial tension should never stop us from helping those around us. This man stopped and did what he needed to do. He was showing the love of Christ to this man. And as I stated before, some think that based on how Jesus told this parable, that this wasn't a parable at all, but it was a true event that happened to Jesus one day while he was walking on the road. They believe this was actually Jesus who was beaten on the side of the road, and a hated Samaritan came and helped him. The self-righteous did not. It was the sinner who did. It was the sinner who had compassion. And this might explain why Jesus had so much compassion on the Samaritan woman at the well. It also might explain why Jesus says, "What you did for the least of these," in contrast to "what you didn't do for the least of these." And we have to remember it was the inaction of what these people didn't do that condemned them in that section of Scripture. They didn't help those who were in need, and they were sent to eternal torment. That's Jesus. That's not James. And the truth is, we as the church, we are so judgmental. We have been so judgmental. The church does not show the love of Christ to the world. We stand on corners yelling and holding signs outside of baseball games saying, "You're going to hell." And we need to stop doing that. And yeah, I understand not everyone does that. But the majority of people in the church, most of them just sit comfortably in their pews. Research shows that on average, 20% of people in the church actually get involved in the ministry of the church. That means 80% think it is the job of the pastor or some other leader. That means 80% are just coming to church because they're getting their fix once a week. Or another stat. The stat that shows that people are actually going to church less. People that used to go to church 4 weeks out of the month are now going 3 weeks out of the month. People that used to go two times a month are now going one time a month. And this is disturbing. We all should find this disturbing because these stats show that people aren't following God. They are following what they think they need to follow for their own wills. And because these people haven't sought God, they haven't looked to God for anything. All they think that the church is going to do, they think the church is like rubbing Buddha's belly. It's going to give them good luck. They think the church is like some genie in a bottle that if I rub this bottle, I'm going to get good luck. The body of Christ is here to build us up. We are supposed to grow in our knowledge of the Lord so we know more about what we were created to do. And instead, we come to church and we judge. And the truth is, only God can do that. Which is why James goes on. "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will do this, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." What James is really saying here is, come on. Really, man? You're a mist. And this mist here is not a morning fog. It's more like one of those e-cigs or one of those vape pens where you take a hit and it's gone. And that's what James is saying we are. I really wanted to get an e-cig this morning just to do that, but I don't know anyone who has them. But that's us. We're gone that quick. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and we make excuses all the time. What do people in the church all over the country say? "When I'm older, I'll get involved. When I have enough time, then I'll get involved." And the truth is, you are called to be a part of the body now. Your jobs, what you are doing for a living, this is the work that God has put you into for a reason. And you are called to be there to reflect the glory of God and the character of God. God works, and so do we. But we're called to be a part of the body of Christ because we're called to build one another up so we can send one another out. If you don't feel fed It's because you're not involved. That's what these stats are showing. If you don't feel fed by the church, it's because you don't care. You need to stop judging. And maybe you don't realize this, but I can tell you how we can tell if you're being fed. Look at your kids' lives. Look at your spouse's lives. Look at your family's lives. The truth is, we were commissioned to raise our kids. We are commissioned to raise our kids in the ways of the Lord. And for those of us who are parents, unfortunately, many parents go through the motions when it comes to baptism or dedication. They just want to do it because they think it's some rite of passage, when it's not. It's a covenant before the Lord that every parent will be held accountable for. You will not be held accountable for whether or not your children come to God or become a follower of God, because only God can open up their eyes. But you will be held accountable for what you taught them. Did you teach them that work was more important? Did you teach them that sports, aside from the Red Sox, or drama were more important? Yeah, I saw that. Did you teach them that academics were more important? Did you teach them that judging others was more important? And it will show. On the subject of work, we're going to be doing a series through the month of August that points to how our work, what we do out in the field, reflects God's grace. We're servants. Jesus came to serve. We're out there serving no matter what you do. But you're going to hear this again during that series. I was listening to a sermon in the past couple weeks, and this hit me. We are called to Sabbath. Why? We all know God created for the first 6 days and then rested on the seventh. We as a creation were created on the sixth day, so our first day was the Sabbath. We are called to rest, preparing us to go out to work, and we've gotten it wrong. That day of rest is supposed to refresh us, but how many of us take a day of rest? And I'm in that camp as well. Most of us work hours and hours. We work more hours trying to keep up with the Joneses, trying to keep busy, and we do it for this simple reason. We want bigger houses, more cars, and more toys. And for what? James right here is saying you're not guaranteed tomorrow. God could take your life this very day. So why do we worry about tomorrow? So you who say, I'm going to do God's work when I get older. I'll become a member of the church. I'll become a member of the missions team or go on a missions trip or do something like this when I'm older. You sound a lot like those who say, I will come to Christ when I get my act together. You sound just like those who say, I'll start going to church again when I stop partying. You sound a lot like them because you are like them. The Spirit has not moved you because the Spirit is possibly not in you. And this is the whole point of James. It's the whole point of Jesus' ministry. We are to act differently. We're to look different. And we can't forget that you can judge a tree by its fruit, and there is no fruit. Now, this quote I threw in your bulletins this past week points that out. Christianity grew because of its theology. Christians introduced to a world of hatred and cruelty a totally new concept about humanity, that you had a responsibility to be compassionate and caring to everyone. That is powerful, especially for a sociologist to admit. Yet, how are you being compassionate and caring when you buy everything that you want? When you go on all the vacations you want, when you store up money for retirement, which is not a biblical notion, how are you being compassionate and caring when you aren't bringing to the Lord what is the Lord's? Because that is how the body of Christ feeds the poor. It's how we clothe those who need clothes. That is how the body of Christ visits those in the hospitals and visits those in prisons. If you aren't showing compassion and care, and I realize it's not always an easy thing to do, but if you aren't showing it, you might not be a follower of Christ. Look in the mirror. We're constantly looking to our own best interests. We are always looking for our wants and our desires. Instead of saying, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. For a true follower of Christ, this is something they're always asking themselves. Paul reminds us, I gave you milk because you weren't ready for food. We should be seeking the Lord's will all the time. For the new follower of Christ, I get it. You're struggling with this whole idea of living a new life. You're learning more and more about Jesus, and your life might not look that different from what it did before. But as you start growing in the Lord, as the body of believers is walking alongside of you, feeding you, you will grow. You will cast off these things that were in your life that aren't good. It's why there are people in churches all over who are stuck in all kinds of sin. They're living in questionable relationships. They're alcoholics. They're drug addicts. They don't realize what they're doing is wrong because while Christ has opened their eyes, they haven't had the knowledge yet. Christ hasn't opened their eyes to their sins yet. And he will if we're being the body of Christ. We are not called to judge. We're called to feed and walk alongside. This group doesn't have the excuse, though, this other group. People who say they've been following Christ for years or even decades, they don't have the excuse of saying, I don't know what God's will is for my life. They don't have the excuse of having their lives look no different than it did before. They should be taking in more than milk, and if they aren't, well, maybe the teachers and the elders of the church weren't doing their jobs. And this is happening all over the country in our legalistic churches. It's happening in our health and wealth churches. It's happening in our social gospel churches and our liberal churches. But for those who had solid teachers and elders, people who have been in the church for decades have no right having a life that looks no different than before. If they are, they probably aren't Christians because they haven't looked in the mirror. All they've done is judged. All they've done is built up riches. And your life could be taken tomorrow. We're told to go, not to wait. We need to get out there into our communities because we need to show the love of Christ to everyone. We need to bring passion, compassion, and caring to those who are on the ground, curled up in the fetal position, snot-faced and red-eyed. But instead, as it is, you boast and brag. And all such boasting is evil. We boast and brag. Look at how big our building is. Look at how beautiful the sanctuary is. Look at what we've accomplished when God has given us this. Not look at what we've accomplished. Look at how much God's blessed us. But instead we say, how many people have we added to our numbers? We count every week. We put it up in the old churches. Y'all remember this. When they had that board there and they would put how many people showed up the week before. We do that. Why? We're boasting and bragging. And there are people out there who need help. We support ministries around the world who we don't have any contact with, except maybe through a newsletter. And then we post it on our site, on our website saying, look who we're supporting. Look how good we are. Look at what we've accomplished. And this is harsh, but what James is saying is all that stuff is evil. And as James said last week, that stuff is of the devil. Stop it. Stop bragging. Look to Christ. Stop boasting. Look to Christ. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. James is pulling no punches this week. You all know what to do. You've been in the church most of your lives, and yet, what are you supposed to do? Do you know? What are you called to do? Do you know? I know we're called to tithe. I know we're called to love one another as Christ loves us. So let's just start with these two basics. You know them. You know they're good. They're not just good for you, but they're good for the community. You also know that they're good for the kingdom of God to build up the kingdom, and yet you don't do them. And James here is saying you're sinning. That's it. That's what he's saying. You're sinning. Jesus said it. James is saying it right now. Stop. Go and sin no more. We can complain and judge all the time when it comes to someone's sexual sins. We're good at doing that. But hey, are you tithing? Are you giving your time? Are you loving others like Christ loves you? Because we can't forget they will know you are my disciples by how you love one another. And if you're not, you're sinning. And just like that person that's stuck in sexual sin who thinks it's okay, like those who are stuck in same-sex relationships who think it's okay, you're just like them. You don't give your time. You don't tithe, and you don't show the love of Christ. Look in the mirror. We can look at all the commandments and realize it is really hard to follow God. It's really hard to follow Jesus, but start here. They will know you are my disciples by how you love one another. That's a hard commandment right there to follow. That commandment right there is hard to obey because we love to judge. We love to belittle those around us. Stop. Act like Jesus is standing right there next to you when you want to criticize someone. Act like he's standing right there next to you when you want to judge someone or belittle someone. Why? Because if you are a follower of Christ, Jesus is standing right there. He's with you all the time. He knows what you're doing right now. He knows if you're bored with this message that I'm trying to bring to you. Or he knows if you are taking notes because you're trying to grow and you want to know him more. And that's what James is trying to remind us. You will be judged as harshly as you judge others. When you look at someone and say, see, pastor says it, you need to stop doing it. Stop. Look in the mirror. Yeah, that person needs to look in the mirror as well. But stop. Don't say a word. Point to Christ. You don't have to say a word to point to Christ. You have to act. You have to work. We are saved by grace through faith. God does the work. He opens our eyes. He draws us to him, but we have to work out our faith. No one in Scripture or throughout the history of the church who had faith just sat in their pew weekly and did nothing. They all acted in faith because they knew they owed everything to the Lord. Love one another. Always point people to Christ with action. And as we wind down this morning, I have a few things I want to talk to you about. I have a few things I want to bring to our attention that we could be doing here in Geauga County. We have two pressing opportunities. Two opportunities that will show the love on people who need to see the love of Christ. And the first one's simple. I'm not quite sure what it's called, but there's this penny mile. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Like the real name of this thing? There's a penny mile going on. They're trying to collect enough pennies to span a mile. And what they're doing is they're starting a homeless center here. They're trying to bring a homeless shelter here to Geauga County. We have homeless people here. They're living in the woods. They're living in towns. They live wherever they can find a place to sleep. And Jesus said, whenever you fed or clothed or sheltered, you did this for me. And to those who didn't feed, clothe, or shelter, he said, depart from me. I never knew you. It's all about action. We have the opportunity to partner with this shelter, financially and possibly in other ways. The issue is it takes a step of faith on your part. For those of you who are tithing, thank you. God is using your money to further his kingdom. We are called to give not out of comfort. We're called to be challenged. Think about that as you seek the Lord this week. But for those of you who aren't tithing, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, there is an interesting fact. If every American Christian, Bible-believing, not liberal-leaning Christian, were to tithe 10% after paying their mortgage or their rent, if they were to do this, we could end world hunger. And yet 26,000 kids are dying every day from preventable issues. We're not doing our job. The truth is we can't do our job unless the followers of Christ start tithing. The leadership of this church has decided this past year to tithe 10% right off the top of our budget. We want to give more, but that involves faith on your part. That involves bringing to God what is his, because we're called to bring to God what is his. If you want to tithe the traditional 10%, awesome. But for starters, if all American Christians tithe 10% after rent or mortgage, we can end world hunger. And we need to start there. Yeah, we're helping in China, we're helping in Africa, we're helping in Europe. But what about right here? We need the body of Christ here in Parkman. We need the body to pray, to seek God's will, and to trust God. And we need to bring to God what is His, because we're no better right now than the priest and the Levite when we know that there are people dying right here on the road and we're just crossing over and walking by. And that is what we're doing. That is what we're doing when we're not bringing to God what is God's. That's what we're doing when we don't tithe financially or tithe with our time. So bring to God what is His, your tithe of money and time. As the body of Christ, we're called to bring to the Lord what is the Lord's. Right now, we're able to send out 10% of our budget. What if we could send out 20%? What if we could send 30% of our budget out, or even more, because people here were trusting in the Lord? If we could, we would. That would be great, because that would be showing that we have faith. There are two things right here in our community, and up until now, we've been acting like the priest and the Levite. We've walked to the other side of the road and kept going. But it's going to take the body of Christ stepping up. It's going to take you going home, praying and seeking the Lord's will. It's going to take you stepping out in faith and bringing to the Lord what is His. And for those who already are, I know you can attest to the fact that God continues to bless you more and more, because you already have taken that step of faith. So let us pray. Lord, we come before You this morning, seeking Your will, asking that You open our eyes, that You give us the wisdom we need to move, that You give us our call, that You show us what You want of us, Lord. But we also just need Your presence to calm us down when we're facing anxiety or depression or worry or any of these things, God, and only You can bring that to us. You are an awesome God, Lord, and we just thank You for who You are. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.